peace and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is from Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, honor your mother. Thus far the text. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, well, I warn you, you're going to get more than you ever bargained for today, so buckle up and hang on tight. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Well, there you have it. The text says, honor your mother, Exodus 20. The commandment doesn't mess around. Gets right to the heart of the issue. This is what God requires. This is God's will. Everyone has a mother, and she is to be honored. Why is that? Well, the no-brainer answer is this. Are you ready for it? God commands it. End of sermon, right? Well, don't tempt me. I may pull a Jimmy John's. It might be freaky fast. But I won't cut it that short today. There's got to be more. And of course, there is. Moms are also to be honored because they are God's good gifts in the world. Moms are the Lord's instruments. They are God's hands, God's mouth. The Lord uses a woman, her body, to carry, give birth, and raise children. You remember that in the beginning, God blessed the married couple, Adam, the man, and Eve, the woman, with these words, be fruitful and increase in number, Genesis 1:28. A side note, did you notice that in the beginning, God's good and gracious will is that only a man and a woman are to be married? Just checking. And it's the only marriage there is in God's eyes. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, Genesis 2. In addition, and this applies to the vocation of motherhood, Genesis 3:20 says, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. Eve's name, of course, then gives the clue to the essence of her calling and to all women. So, we are to honor mom because God is hidden, but actively at work in the world for the benefit and well-being of his creation through motherhood. It is God who empowers a woman to be a mother. Through the woman, God creates, God sustains, and God raises children. Motherhood, then, is a divine and holy vocation. God is well pleased with it. He called it very good, like all the rest of his creation in Genesis 1. Now, over the past few years and months, the Lord has blessed our congregation with the very good of motherhood and the gift of babies. It's been quite a run recently, hasn't it? Joyous births, many happy baptisms. All because God has created a woman's body so that a baby can be conceived in her womb. The vocation of motherhood is all about what? It's all about service. Listen to our Lord Jesus. He says in Mark 8, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so, as the Lord's instrument, mom is the Lord's hands and mouth so that she can serve her neighbor, her child. Mom denies herself. She denies her needs, her wants, her desires, all for the sake of her child. She, mom, lives as a little Christ for her child. She lives not to be served, but to serve, as she gives her life, time, talents, energy, emotions, health, hope, and faith as mother for her child. In this way, then, the Lord gives meaning to this service of being a mother. When mom is pregnant, she shares absolutely everything. She shares her body, her DNA, her nutrients, her strength, her own physical space with her child. Pregnancy, labor, and delivery are very hard work. Perhaps the toughest physical activity a woman can go through. Mom endures it all for the sake of the baby, because mom lives for the baby. And after the labor and delivery, the mother continues to keep her child alive by nursing her and bathing her and diapering her. Mom bundles her baby to protect her from the cold. Mom makes sure that baby gets vaccinated to protect her from all kinds of harmful diseases. She does endless loads of laundry. She teaches her child how to pray. She brings her to holy baptism, Sunday school, and the divine service so that her child is and remains a Christian. But motherhood, as I've just hinted at, is also very physical. It has everything to do with physicality. Having a baby is what a woman's body does. Caring for a baby is what her body and soul do. Her body cares for another body. It includes nursing with her own breasts, handling excrement, suffering sleep deprivation, tending to high fevers, ear infections, good grief, the ear infections, chicken pox or the flu, cuddling her with her hands and arms, the baby's little body. Indeed, motherhood is one of the most physically and spiritually demanding vocations in all of the world. Now you can understand why some women want nothing to do with it. But mom doesn't give up. She uses all of her intellect, her soul, and all her gifts as she cares and raises her child. She feeds, clothes, washes, and molds her child in the everyday, ordinary, and yet very challenging tasks that people don't want to do with. She dares to parent. She audaciously mothers according to the Lord's will and the Lord's word. Mom's mothering is an example of what it means then to live as a little Christ for the sake of other people. And so we're back to where we began, back to the commandment, honor your mother. Honor her as the Lord's instrument to give you life and to care for you. Honor your mom. This is the good use that the Lord has for you, his died for and forgiven and redeemed people. Now, where you have failed to honor your mother, repent. Confess your sin against your mother to God and to her. What's that? You say you haven't sinned against your mother? That's absolute nonsense. Because we all know, let's admit it now, shall we? We all know that the people that we sin against and hurt the most and on purpose are usually the people that are the closest to us, the people that we love the most, and that includes our mother. And so I beg you to use Jesus and his blood to mediate. Otherwise, your sin will destroy your relationship with her. Where you have failed your mother, ask her, beg her to forgive you. And mothers, are you listening? Mothers, be explicit. Forgive your child in the name of Jesus. Declare Christ's forgiveness to your child. Speak Christ's absolution in your family as the female bishop of your house. Tell the sinners in your family that Jesus died for their sin and that you forgive them too. You see, that's precisely why Jesus died. You see, his death does have a purpose. He died for sinners. You're one of his, aren't you? Don't you belong to Jesus? Of course you do. And since you're his, that means that you're a what? You're a sinner, a forgiven sinner. I tell you that Christ's forgiveness is powerful enough to save even you, a Christian. Mothers, remember that you are the Lord's instrument and the Lord's servant in your vocation. You're not the Pope infallible. You're not God. Mothers, you sin and you violate your vocation all the time. Now, the little sins against your family and God, oh, they're easy to spot, aren't they? The little ones. But the big ones, ooh, the deepest sins, you don't notice that often, and they spring on you from behind, like when God told Cain, sin crouches at your door. Sometimes your sin flat out surprises you, and it hits you like a ton of bricks. It catches you. And here, of course, is what you often say to your family or to God after your sin has done its collateral damage. I didn't have any idea. I was only trying to be the best of moms. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't intend for that to happen. I didn't mean to hurt you. I only wanted what was best for you. The best intentions sometimes have the worst effects. And then you're crushed. You have the regret, you have the shame, you have the guilt. And so, Mom, where you have sinned against your child or your family, confess your sin to God and to your child or the members of your family, and then beg for forgiveness, expecting to receive it for Christ's sake, no matter what the sin. Whether it's the termination of a pregnancy, maybe it's the constant negativity. I mean, you can never say anything good. Maybe it's always keeping score. Why can't you be more like your brother? Or why can't you be more like your sister? Ooh, that destroys relationships. Maybe it's the sin of neglect. Maybe it's bitter anger or the worship of the self. I tell you that Jesus died for all your sin. He doesn't exclude any sin from his sacrificed body on the tree. Jesus never says, oh my, I love sinners, you know, but you've stretched it beyond my wildest imaginations. Now, I've died for the sin of the world, but I didn't know you'd ever do that. Now, he never says that. So, kids or members of the family, forgive your mother. Tell her that you forgive her. Don't clam up. Don't slam the door to your room. Don't run away. Don't play tit for tat. Don't try to get revenge and make plans to hurt her. Instead, forgive her as God in Christ has forgiven you of everything in his Good Friday dying. Now, I know that Mother's Day is bittersweet for quite a few women. Many women can't get pregnant, and others have miscarried. Now, for you who can't get pregnant, the Lord can still use you for good as his servant to be a little Christ for others. How? By adopting unwanted or orphaned children. Do you realize that all of us Christians are children of God because he adopted us? God is our Father and we are his children through adoption. Listen to Ephesians 1. Listen carefully. For he, God, chose us in him, Jesus, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, God predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. That's pure gift. Adoption is pure gospel. To be adopted by God is to be saved. And you are gifted with salvation when he adopts you as his child, his little one who believes in him. So the fact that God the Father has adopted you as his child is precisely why you are free to live out the gospel in your life by adopting a little boy or a little girl to be your child. And in doing so, you exhibit and you extend the love of Christ to a child who desperately needs to be loved. Now, if you're trying to get pregnant, the Lord provides wonderful doctors and technology and medicines as his instruments. Use the science. Use the doctors. However, there are biblical and God-pleasing guidelines that need to be followed. What would that be? Let me tell you. The medical treatments should be in accord. Listen very carefully. The medical treatments should be in accord with the one flesh union of holy marriage. In other words, in vitro fertilization is acceptable as long as the genetic material, the sperm and the egg that is combined, comes from who? The married parents. In that way, the child that is conceived is still made of the flesh and blood of both married parents. To use a sperm donor or an egg donor, someone to whom you're not married, goes outside of the bound of holy marriage, and it is a kind of adultery. It adulterates the marriage. This also includes surrogacy. In other words, using a surrogate mother was just absolutely disastrous when Abraham and Sarah decided to do it in Genesis 16, despite all their good intentions. And it remains a bad idea today. Even though motherhood begins at conception, the surrogate mother who gives birth to the child will have a conflicting claim to that child. Brothers and sisters, please remember that with in vitro fertilization, this is very important, that with in vitro fertilization, there can be the conception of not just one, but multiple embryonic children in which only one is brought to term. Do you know that? The extra embryos, what do they do with them? The children, what do they do with them? They're usually thrown away, frozen, or used for experimentation, or they're simply just murdered for their stem cells. Parents have a divine calling to protect all the children that they conceive, even if it is through in vitro fertilization. Now, there's something else that has happened with all this technology. I've talked about adoption, so let me ask you this. Is it possible to adopt an unwanted frozen embryo? I would say yes. Because it is possible then to implant one of these embryos in the womb of a woman and then let her carry the child and bring it to term. This is what people call snowflake babies. This does not violate the one flesh union. Why? Because there was no extramarital mingling of the DNA. Instead, it's what? It's an adoption. Another example of God's love for others. Snowflake adoption, if you've never heard of it, check it out, is really a rescue from certain and imminent death. Last year, Gwyneth Paltrow, you know the actress, she revealed in an interview that she nearly died after suffering a miscarriage during her third pregnancy. So to you mothers who've miscarried, I tell you that the Lord knows your pain, and he knows your deep, deep anguish. Our Lord's Good Friday death and his Easter morning resurrection counts for these little ones as well. These little ones are very, very precious to him. They too are reconciled to God through his blood, and we commend them to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for the happy reunion in heaven, and we eagerly wait for the resurrection of the body then on the last day with these little ones. Whew. Mothers, the Lord has good use for you, not to live for yourself. That's idolatry. A selfish life is not enlivening. That's destructive. It harms those who need your love. Jesus did not give himself into death at Calvary so that you could live like that. Instead, the Christian life of motherhood is twofold. It's faith in Jesus and then love for the neighbor. Jesus doesn't need your love. Your children do. And that's precisely why you're a mother. You're the Lord's instrument, his hands, his mouth, to love, to care for those that he's put into your life as a little Christ, offering your body as a living sacrifice for your children. And so, children, honor your mother. That is the Lord's good use for you too. In the name of Jesus, amen.